the Spooky Chris podcast. My name is Chris Ringler, the aforementioned Spooky Chris. I am an author and general oddball living in Flint, Michigan. Pardon my cough there. So this is, I believe, episode 19, I think, of my occasional podcast. And I had said in my last episode, if you listened, that I wanted to read a story. This is the story I actually did read at StokerCon. StokerCon, for those, you know, who may not know, or if this is your first time listening, StokerCon was in a convention I went to in early May in Grand Rapids, Michigan. It is a yearly convention and award ceremony that is for the horror industry. And I set up in the dealer room, and I had signed up for the opportunity to read there. And so I was able to read a story. I wasn't sure how much time I would have, so I took a very short story, which I read in the last podcast. And I, you know, did read the story I'm about to read. That is actually what I did read there. And I had edited it and kind of worked it to make sure I could have the time to read it, because I was concerned that I wouldn't have enough time. But it worked out. So I wanted to read this, this short little creepy story of mine. Oops. And it is, I try to adjust everything so you can hear and I can do this. It is a story called Ball. I once had a dog that I loved dearly. He was my best friend. Captain was a big black Great Dane Grandma had gotten for me when I was having a hard time in school. She thought it was just what I needed to help my confidence, and she was right. Cap was a rescue Grandma found at the animal shelter, and when he was four when she got him, and I was 11. He was part of the family immediately, but he wasn't our last addition. The last addition was a baby. She was the daughter of a friend of the family, someone Mom had met in college. The woman had lost her husband in a car accident, and she was dying from leukemia, so Mom and Dad had a long talk with me. And that was how Amelia came to live with us. She moved in with us at the beginning of summer. 2 months later, everything changed for the worse. Especially for Cap. Captain was a good dog. The best dog. He was a pain in the butt, though. Cleaning up his poo, feeding him, letting him out at night. Mom and Dad wanted me to learn to be more responsible. And I get that, but it didn't make it any less annoying. He had to go outside every night at 3 a.m, like clockwork, and there was no denying Cap. It was the middle of summer when things started, and I had just fallen asleep after staying up late to watch a movie, when Captain wandered into my bedroom and nudged me to tell me he had to go out. I got up and followed him to the back door, stubbing my toes a half dozen times as I went. The path he took rambled through the house. It went from my bedroom, down the hall, left into the living room, through that to the dining room, and then through the kitchen to the back door, when he could have just gone down the hall, into the kitchen and out. He liked the other route though, best, though. At the back door, I patted him on the head, unlocked the sliding glass, and let him out into the backyard. The yard was fenced with 3 big trees standing guard at the back edge of the property, and a small shed Dad had built standing in the opposite corner. I turned the backyard light on, and then went back inside and sat down at the kitchen table and dropped my head in my hands. As soon as my head hit my hands, I fell into darkness and was gone. When I woke, it was dawn, so I got up and slowly trudged to the door to call for Cap to come in. The big guy was sitting at the base of a tree at the back of the yard, panting. I called him again. He ignored me. He must have had something treed. I called a third time, and he turned and ran to me and kissed my hand, and he came inside and went right for his bed. He was asleep immediately. Dad caught me as I was making my way back to bed and clapped me on the shoulder and said the one word every kid hates more than any other in the summer. Lawn. I nodded and went to my room and got dressed and got ready to mow the lawn. Now, did the lawn need to be mowed at 8 a.m.? No. But that's how Dad liked things. And Dad liked things the way he liked them, and that was what it was. I was deep into my own head as I mowed and didn't notice anything in the grass when I ran the thing over. Dad called out to me, worried, then hurried out to see why I had stopped mowing. I pulled the mower backwards and saw a dark red shape on the grass. I bent down to grab it, and as soon as my hand touched it, I felt how wet it was. I looked at my hand and saw it was red. Crap. I'd run over an animal. Dad came up to me and saw my hand and grabbed it to see where I'd cut myself. I told him I hadn't, that the red had come from what I now saw was a ball. He looked down and reached to it and grabbed it, grimacing as he did, and then dropped it again. He looked at me for a moment and then looked back down and picked the ball up again and tilted his head as he looked at the mower. He knelt and grabbed hold of something beneath the mower, and when he pulled it out came a long piece of something that was also red and also attached to the ball. He pulled until all of it was out and then looked at the ball. It was gross and creepy, but it wasn't something dead. It was just fabric. Fabric someone had rolled up and dipped in paint or something. Dad dropped it back onto the grass and wiped his hands on the grass as soon as he was done. Get some gloves on and throw this thing in the trash, will ya? We'll call it a day for the yard work. We can finish it tomorrow. I nodded and watched him walk back towards the house, his eyes on his hands as he went inside. For my part, I did as he asked and got some gloves and I threw the ball away. We ended up going to the beach that afternoon and left Captain inside the house with the air conditioning on. Dad was strange all day, distracted. I caught him looking at his hands and rubbing them on a towel one time as if something was on them. A chill ran through me and I thought of that ball material we had found, and the rest of the day wasn't as fun anymore. That night I beat Captain of the Punch, getting up in the middle of the night to pee and deciding to check on him when I was done. I saw him sitting alert by the back door and figured he had to go out, so I opened the door for him. He looked up at me for a moment, almost as if asking permission, and I patted him on the head, and he slowly made his way outside. I closed the door because I had gotten chilly out, and I went and sat on the couch and promptly fell asleep. I woke to Captain scratching at the sliding door's glass and got up groggily and went to let him in. It was nearly dawn again, and when I let him in, he raced past me and slid under my bed. I followed him and laughed as I saw him go under, but stopped when I saw he was shaking. He was scared. I didn't fall back to sleep, and when Mom and Dad called me down for breakfast, I didn't go. Dad came up looking for me, concerned. He could tell by the look on my face that something was bothering me, and he sat down on the side of the bed and patted my leg. I told him what had happened the night before and about how Cap had acted. Dad was silent for a minute and then patted me on the head. Let me take a look back there and see if anyone has been fooling around with anything. And for the next few nights, if the big guy wants to go out, then you wake me up and I'll take him, okay? I smiled and felt a weight lift. I got up and followed Dad down to breakfast, and Captain was hot on my heels. Dad spent a good part of the afternoon in the backyard, looking around the fence, then around the shed, and finally he got a ladder out and looked up in the trees. He was looking in the one closest to the back fence and came down after a few minutes, something held in his left hand as he descended the ladder. He stuffed the thing into his pocket of his pants as he pulled the ladder down, his eyes up on the tree the whole time. Afterward, he wouldn't answer any questions when I asked him what he'd found, just saying that it was nothing, and to make sure to wake him if the dog wanted to go out. Later that night, as I was heading to bed, I heard him speaking to Mom in a hushed tone and only caught the words, "Another one," but didn't know what that meant. I woke late into the night and got up to pee and found Captain sitting at the door again, staring into the darkness. Dad had turned the backyard light on, so I stood beside Cap and patted him on the head as we both looked out. He started whining and I strained to see something but saw nothing out of the ordinary. I checked to make sure that the door was locked, hurried off to pee, then went right back to bed and found Cap lying on my bed waiting for me. When I went to let Captain out to go to the bathroom in the morning, he wouldn't go near the back of the yard and cried the entire time he was out. I walked back towards the trees and looked around and at first found nothing until I came back to the house, and that was when I saw it next to the back door. Another red ball. I looked around for Mom and Dad, and not seeing them, I picked it up, frowning that it was still damp, and unraveled it slowly. The ball wasn't large, but it seemed as if the layers of soaked red cloth would never end until I knew I'd gotten to the center when I pricked my thumb on something. I dropped the cloth and the last bit unraveled, revealing several small red shards. They looked like toothpicks, but when I picked one up, it felt smooth and warm. I rubbed at it, and when I saw that it was yellowish beneath the red, I dropped it. The things in the cloth looked like little shards of bone, and if Cap had gotten this ball, gotten and bitten into it. I swept the mess up in my hand, got up, and threw it into the trash. Later that afternoon, I caught Dad while Mom was out in the front yard with the baby and told him what I had found and showed it to him in the garbage. He got quiet and rubbed his chin. Someone's playing a cruel game with us, kiddo. A dangerous game. What do you mean? I asked. Someone wants to hurt Cap. I found the same sort of things in the other balls. I saved one of them, and I'm going to call the police and speak to them. until they can get out here, you keep Cap on a leash and you don't let him out of your sight. Got me? I nodded and headed back into the house. Cap was under my bed and I got under there with him and we lay like that for a while until Mom came looking for me. Honey, get dressed. Your dad had an accident. Dad had been up in the trees again looking for something. She had been back there with him holding the ladder but thought she had heard me calling for her, so she left him to check. And as soon as she got into the house, she heard my dad cry out and saw him in a heap at the bottom of the ladder, his arm twisted at a wrong angle and several deep scratches along his face. He was dazed, but Mom got him up and into the car. That was when she came for me and Amelia. She called our next-door neighbor and told her what had happened, and she promised to look in on Cap to see how he was doing in case we were gone for a while. We were gone for 7 hours. There'd been a boating accident nearby, and the hospital was a mess. Dad's arm was busted in two places, and he had a concussion, but the doctor said he was lucky it wasn't worse. When asked about the scratches, he said he wasn't sure how it had happened. When we went into the small room to see Dad, he looked drugged, but as soon as Mom and the baby left the room for a moment, he pulled me close and whispered to me, I caught it up there. I caught it. Christ. Jesus Christ, son. It's... Where's Captain? Mom returned, and Dad let go of me and was out in an instant, stoned on pain medication. Dad was hurting, it was clear, but it was Cap I was thinking of, my big, sweet boy. It was after 10 at night when Mom called the neighbor woman. The old lady had been asleep, but the phone woke her. But yeah, she said old Cap is fine, just fine. It had been such a nice day that she thought he'd like spending some time outside, so she'd let him out at 5, and he was still out there. She'd forgotten all about him, and hadn't heard him barking, so he had to be fine. Mom asked her to go check on him, and the woman insisted he was okay. The woman, sweet as she usually was, had no interest in going out at this hour. But Mom insisted, and the lady walked over to the house, muttering on the other end of the line to Mom the entire time about how she shouldn't have to do this. The neighbor looked through the fence and said Cap was lying on by the ladder, back by the trees in the back of the house, and that... Suddenly, she went quiet. Mom asked her what she was going to say, and the woman told her that something was wrong with Cap. His head was at a strange angle, and he wasn't moving. Mom got quiet for a moment and then abruptly told the woman goodbye and hung up. I saw from the look on her face that my dog was dead. Mom called the police and they met us at the house when we returned with Dad. The police went into the backyard first, and after a few minutes, the two officers came into the house and pulled Mom aside to talk to her, and I saw her start crying. There were two police cars, and the officer from the second car went next door to speak to our neighbor to get her side of things. Mom had told me to stay put, but as soon as everyone's attention was away from me, I slipped out of the house and into the backyard. Cap was lying motionless, sprawled out in long cold. His head was mostly gone, and his body seemed shriveled, but there was no blood anywhere. I grabbed his paw and held it and cried quietly until my mom and an officer ushered me away. We slept at the house with an officer parked out front and were told not to go out back. The next day, more police arrived to check the scene, as they called it, and Cap, who they had left back there until someone could come to collect him. Dad was more himself, and I heard he and Mom crying when she told him what had happened. I slept under my bed with the blanket he liked to carry around. All I could think about were those balls that someone was leaving for him. The police were done with their investigation by the middle of the next day, and they sat us all down to speak to us afterwards. We told them everything we knew, and they nodded and took notes. They pulled out a bag with one of the balls in it and showed us, and we nodded that yes, that was what had been left out there. The officer told us that they believed that someone had fed Cap a firecracker and that was how he died. I didn't ask why there wasn't any blood. I didn't have anything to say at all, to be honest. I just wanted to go back under my bed. The officer told us that they believed it had been some local kid that had killed Cap, but they wanted us to keep an eye out and be careful until they got to the bottom of things. Dad asked if they had checked the trees. The officer seemed confused by the question and told him that no, they hadn't, and asked if he thought there might be something up there. Dad nodded, and the officer called to his partner, and they grabbed a ladder and went up to look. Dad had been right. They found several more of those balls inside a big hole high up in the tree at the furthest back part of the yard. Sir, I know this may seem extreme, but we might recommend... Already ahead of you, officer. I have the tree removers coming tomorrow. I just wish I'd made the call sooner. The police had Cap cremated for us in case there was anything else done to him. This was just a small-town kindness, and we appreciated it. I slept with Cap's remains every night for a month. I only let him go when we were about to go into the new school year, and Dasa asked me if I was ready to let him rest. I was. I didn't want to be what I was. Dad, Mom, baby, Amelia, and I went out into the front yard and grabbed some flowers, then into the backyard, to the bushes he loved. He loved to hide beneath, and we all said a few words. As we were talking, I noticed Amelia looking back to where the trees had been. She giggled, then toddled over to the bushes that were back there. We all said our piece, and I put the box with Cap into a hole, and we dug behind the bushes. I covered the box with dirt and knelt there crying as Dad and Mom patted my shoulders. Dad called Amelia, but I stood up and told him I'd get her as I wiped my eyes. I walked back towards her and was confused. She was laughing and acting as if she was playing with someone. I leaned down and scooped her from my arms, and she squealed as I kissed her on the back of her neck. I dropped her back down, and she giggled and poked me in the leg, then ran off to Mom and Dad. I looked at the three tree stumps left until someone could come dig them out, and then the bushes behind them. A long row that ran to both sides of the fence, along to where we had buried Cap. I scanned them, looking to see if there was a rabbit or some other animal she was playing with, but saw nothing. I was turning to leave when I noticed something near the bushes at the point where the two sides of the fence met. I walked over to it and knelt and saw it was red and wet. I reached towards it and stopped short and instead poked it, and it rolled over. It was roughly shaped like a person with a long piece of cloth coming from it that led back under the bushes. A doll. This was supposed to be a doll. I reached for it to grab it to show Dad, but a long, thin stick emerged from the bushes and moved towards the doll. As the stick stretched out 1 foot, 2 foot, and more, I saw the stick bend and fingers erupt from what turned out to be a bald fist at the end of the stick. An arm, thin, white, and looking like it was more stick than flesh, like a spider attached to a stick, in fact, reached and grabbed the doll and pulled it slowly back into the bushes, and I threw myself backwards on my butt, away from it. From the bushes came a long hissing sound that I realized was someone hushing me. The arm reemerged, and a long, pale finger wagged at me as if to say, "No, no, no," before balling back into a fist and disappearing again. I was up and running towards the house in a flash, and the hiss chased after me. Whatever that thing in the bushes was had taken my dog, and now it wanted Amelia. I ran into the kitchen, the rest of the family out front now, and reached into one of the higher cupboards and grabbed a can of lighter fluid and a box of matches. It had already taken my dog. It would never take my sister. Never. And that is my story called Ball. I read that, like I say, at StokerCon. And I kind of dig it. You can find all of my stories that are kind of published and such on my webpage, Spooky Chris. You can find, you know, all the stuff I've written. I've written everything from kids' books to horror novels to short story collections to a fairy tale trilogy. You can find everything on Amazon if you are interested, if your curiosity is piqued. And I have lots of stories here on my blog at Spooky Chris. So I hope you enjoyed my story. I will be back eventually to talk about random weird things that cross my mind. Until then, enjoy the whatever this is, a day, a night, a weekend. Enjoy yourself, friend. And find something creepy to do, because those are the best things to do.